This is Kate Safin for Fringe Review, talking to Laura Ingram, who is the writer and producer of Nell Gwyn, An Epilogue, which is on daily at Sweet at 16:45. So, for a start, Laura, who was Nell Gwyn? Why write about her?
She was a very well-known figure in her own time, which is Restoration London, 1660s, 1670s. She was an Orange, well, she grew up in a prostitute, her mother was a prostitute, she grew up in a brothel, and mainly serving ale to the guests and goodness knows what else besides. And she got lucky, really. She and her sister became Orange Girls at the New Theatre Royal, Drury Lane, which was opened by King Charles II pretty much as soon as he returned to London from his exile after the Commonwealth collapsed, after Cromwell died. And one of the first things Charles did on his return to England and his reinstatement as king was open up two theatres in London and allow women, not only allow women to act on the stage for the first time in England, but to make it illegal for men to act as women, so it had to be women. And Nell was lucky that she was in the right place at the right time as an Orange Girl, and she became, she very quickly caught the eye of one of the lead actors and managers, Charles Hart, who some people say was the great nephew of Shakespeare, whether it's true or not, it's up for argument. They very quickly became lovers. She couldn't read, he had to teach her parts word for word, but she excelled in comedy and became quickly famous. And they basically became the first celebrity couple in the theatre in this country, well, in the UK. And I encountered her when I was. And I, so they became one of the first, if not the first, celebrity couple in England from the theatrical world, and were famous because together they made comedies really, really, really popular. The type of roles they played, basically played themselves on stage to a heightened comic degree, and became very well known. And the king would see her dancing in the breeches, dancing jigs, and being funny. And I encountered her when I was 19, the age that Nell is in my play. I was solo spotting on Miss Saigon at the Theatre Royal Drury Lane. It's not the same building as was there then, but it's the same basement. There's a corridor that goes into the stage, it's part of the same building that she knew. And there's a door halfway along it, and it leads to a passage that's been blocked up now, but goes to the pub over the road from the theatre called the Nell. And so I became aware of her from asking about that passage, and apparently the king used to take actresses through it to the pub in secret anonymously, and then the pub itself was called the Nell after her, and then the theatre did guided tours, and Nell was a focal point of the tour. We talked about her, and that's where I encountered her, and started reading about her, and very quickly started trying to write about her. And now we're talking 15 years ago, but it's taken me this long to really find the right medium. It sounds obvious now, but theatre is the right medium for her, and I made a mistake in trying to make a film of it first.
Okay, well, we do seem to be blessed with a helicopter overhead. So you've had the idea for some time, and you feel a real connection to it. Tell me how you developed the work and how it's grown over the months you've been working on it.
Sure. As I said, originally I'd written it as a film script when I was about 20, and it wasn't very good. It was a collection of scenes. It was just me trying to get to know more about Nell, and I did more research on her then and then put it aside. A few years later, I wrote it as a play. Again, we're talking more than 10 years ago now, and again, it was just a collection of scenes, but in stage form instead of film form. And I was getting a bit better, but it wasn't there, and I put it aside again. And then a couple of years ago, I started reading about how to write a play for the first time, and I realised it kind of clicked what I'd been doing wrong, and I wrote a version of it. I was halfway through it when I met a couple of people on Twitter who became very influential in development of the play, who are Jen McGregor and Dave McFarlane. Jen's from Tight Lace Theatre and Dave's from Black Dingo Productions, but they both run a venue, Discover 21 in Edinburgh, which is really good for developing grassroots theatre around here, year-round, not just during the festival. And they invited me to co-produce. They were co-produced now with them, get to use their venue, and did three nights there in April 2014, and it was fantastic. So finding my feet and trying to work out what to do with it next. I decided.
Pause. We're going to pause for a moment. We're going to carry on now. Hopefully the helicopter has gone. You were talking about developing it and working with the the company in it.
Yeah, and yeah, no, that was great. I got my writing in front of an audience for the first time. I have to also credit hugely my writers group, Visible Ink, who are based in Edinburgh, and they're just the best. They're just so supportive, but actually really knowledgeable and call a spade at the same time, but nicely. And they really, really helped me have faith in myself, believe in my writing, really. They're a huge part of how I've managed to take this further. And two of them were in tonight, actually, and my partners, so I'm just so grateful for the support. And over the years, year and a half, they've read various iterations of it and given me such constructive feedback. And so after the original Edinburgh workshop, we took it to production companies who took it. It was my new films on Orange Girl Productions took it to London, but with the same actress, Lucy, as Nell. This time I was directing it, and I decided I wanted to have a go at that. That was an error. We didn't have enough rehearsal time. I'd been working at the Playhouse on Wicked until a few days before, and I have a young child, and basically it wasn't the right time to be bringing it back out of the box, but I had done some rewrites and I was anxious to try them out, and we were wanting to workshop it again before the Fringe, and we did, and it was a mixed blessing. We weren't very happy with the changes to the script and things like that, but we learned a lot from it, not least because of Kate here interviewing me, being very helpful in her critique and suggestions of what to change. And I took it all on board, and then basically went back to Edinburgh and put it to bed for a few months. I needed to sit on it, and that's a big lesson I've learned, that one of the crucial stages of writing is to stop writing and walk away for a while and come back with a fresh eye. That helped me hugely, and then going back to the notes from Kate, going back to my writing group, and actually just going back to my script with a fresh eye, almost like a stranger's eye finally, which is what I hadn't had before. I was able to see what did and didn't work much more clearly.
I think that's really interesting, because it's very easy to think when we see something on stage that it arrives there and it's perfectly formed.
No.
Because actually, it's a long, long period of development and writing and rewriting and reworking, isn't it?
And it wasn't not just me. I mean, I have to say a big difference this time around is that we've got on board Andy Corelli-Jones, who's a wonderful director, who's really it's just been what we needed to kind of, he matched the two of us, Lucy the actress playing Nell and I, well. We both seem to be on the same page, and he's got the script, but he's also been able to improve it. And Lucy herself, she brings clarity to the language. I mean, one of the biggest problems we've had is that the language is very archaic. I've tried to make it rhythmic, I've tried to make it flow and clear, and tried not to use archaic words for the sake of it, but honestly, sometimes when I was writing, it was like I was channeling this language. I almost felt like, don't blame the writer, it's not me. and I can't explain better than that where that came from, but
that was actually going to be my next question. Yeah. You've answered it, which is don't apologise. But I think that is interesting, that using the language of the period.
Yeah.
Now the other thing that Nell does, Lucy does, is engage very much with the audience.
Yeah.
Because it's a small space, and it's in the round, and
no,
the audience the audience become all the other characters.
They do.
seem to thoroughly enjoy. But you're also saying that you were learning about writing from the audience and from watching their...
Absolutely, even today. I've sat in the audience the last 6 days or so, and I'm still learning. I changed teaching positions deliberately to see what the sounds like, the lights, and also the interaction with the audience from each angle. And Lucy's from a background of acting called Meisner, which is very much about not making it up on the spot, but not being too heavily blocked beforehand. So that's one of the things she and Andy have really complemented each other really well, because she needed structure, which he gave her, and she needed freedom, which he also gave her. And so she'll do something differently every night, but there are places, that moments of it that are set, or they worked a lot on the scenes and meanings, what Nell's thinking, feeling, and wanting at any given point. And she's always understood it very well, because between them they've brought out another level of understanding that I'm the writer, and I'm sat in the room thinking, I didn't know I'd written that. And I think that every time I see it about something, that's astonishing to me, and that's taught me about writing. It's taught me that writing isn't a sole sport, it's collaborative, and my writing is nothing without the director and the actor and everything, everybody else obviously, but specifically, especially those two, and Lucy herself brings so much more clarity to the text than I do when I read it alone in my head. I feel familiar with Atlantis, I know the script inside out obviously, but we're very aware of the danger of it going over people's heads, she's too fast speaking it, or just if they're not, you know, too tired that day, and the audience has to put the effort into listening to this. I think if they do, they will follow it and be rewarded, I hope. But I do think it's a Marmite play, you either want to put in that work or you don't. But having said that, it's not like it's a chore. I hope not, anyway. She makes it a joy. To me, she makes it a joy. I don't even think of it as my script when I'm watching her. She makes it something else. She raises it to another level, and I'm so proud of her.
Okay. I think that sums it up rather beautifully, the idea that we're seeing that writing is quite a long process, and that it becomes collaborative, and ultimately it's the actor or actors and audience that take it over and reinterpret it in their own way. So thank you very much, Laura,
for
talking to me. So once again, Suite 445 Daily for Nell Gwynn and Epilogue. Thank you, Laura.
Thank you.